Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I will ensure you're safe in Neverwitch.
How? You have broken the spirits of my kin. It is no longer a refuge.
You still have family? I'm also your kin. You can build a new home.
I knew love, Father. I left a queen, and now I have nothing. Edward's victory has been my undoing.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So grab an ale, sit back and relax, and let's see how England was born. Welcome back. I am just so excited to be here. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I was genuinely saddened by this episode. Like, genuinely saddened. Like, that sucks.
Agreed. Really sad.
And the funny thing is, did not anticipate that whatsoever. Like, it's not that I didn't anticipate the death or anything like that. It's just I didn't anticipate feeling the way that I did. Concerning Sig Trigger and what that meant for Steora, and I mean, hashtag spoilers, Sig Trigger dies. But
yeah, Blake,
I know it's a joke, Mary. It's a joke. Like, you always take me seriously every time I say that. Yep. I don't know why.
Sorry.
Oh man. Anyway, so yeah, no, I was genuinely saddened by that. That was tough, and just given the nature of how that relationship started and evolved, I was surprised. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that goes, you know.
It's a lot. It's a lot to unpack, my friends. But before we do, we want to remind you to hit subscribe to that podcast. And also make sure you're following us on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube, because we are podcasting a lot. Obviously, this being the final season of The Last Kingdom, we're doing other things after this and during this, including House of the Dragon and much more. Head on over to maryandblake.com to see all of our podcasts and blogs. And if we have brought you joy, if we've kept you company, if you have laughed and cried along with us, we highly recommend that you head on over to jointhenerdclan.com. This is where you can show your listener support. Truly, we are like PBS, listener supported, and that is what makes us be able to pay for our website fees and our equipment and our hosting fees, and this is what allows us to do this as a mostly part-time job for both of us, which equals out to be a full-time job and then some. So know that we are able to create content like this because of you. So head on over, jointhenerdclan.com, and on that note, let's get into the show. All right, everybody. This was, of course, episode 6. Okay, just think ice. Right? That's all you gotta know. If you already binged this season and you don't know which episodes was the ice one, friends, where Sid Trigger dies, and Edward and Sid Trigger both have the same idea to jump on over this ice-ridden land and kill Ethelhelm's whatever to family and friends and soldiers, and instead Sid Trigger dies because Edward comes over and is like, "Oh man, I was gonna be cool with him, but like now he's killing Saxons, and I can't not kill him." Cannot. So he has him killed.
Sure.
After a bunch of them drown in a frozen lake of doom,
and Father Pierleg gets pierced.
Oh, that.
That's all you need to know.
You know what that is?
Not great, Bob.
There's some teenager running away, and I don't even care. Don't even care at this point.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? We'll get into that as well. Yeah. All right. So this episode, as Mary said, was episode 506.
Yeah.
And it was directed by Paul Wilmshurst, who actually directed the last two episodes of the last game. I almost said Game of Thrones. That would have been bad. Last two episodes of The Last Kingdom, and the writer was Alex Straker. This is the only episode that Alex is writing of The Last Kingdom at all. He has written other episodes of television, including EastEnders and also Holby City, so a lot of British TV. So if you're into those kind of things, do that on your own time. Marvin, your Shields rating, how many Shields are you giving episode 506?
4.7.
Okay, no, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I'm going to go with a 4-1. Okay. I feel like this episode was a major step back for this season. Again, not because it was a bad episode, but because, you know, they had so much good momentum going in, and there's a lot of things I think that happen here that happen because the show needs it to happen.
Okay.
And when that kind of stuff happens, I am done. I am out. And that's why I'm giving it a 4-1. It's lucky that it even got a 4-1 from me.
Okay.
So that's that. You're good, you're bad, and you're right.
My good. Bebbanburg. Got to mention, we've got Whitgar of Bebbanburg hanging on out with the Scots, but the word Bebbanburg is here.
So it's coming back.
Thank our stars, okay? Because it has been a while. And we need justice for Bjarka.
Well, it is it's true. It's the last season, so you would imagine that the way that the first season began, that they would hopefully come back to it in the final season.
My bad.
Yep.
Okay. Sittrigar. Just got a new hairdo. Just got it.
Looking good with the hair, too.
Oh, my God. At least his head wasn't cut off, because at least his hair will be fine. You know, don't you hate that when you get a new outfit and then you get a stain on it?
Yeah.
And you're like, you
spill
ketchup
on it.
If you have like a shirt and then there's a pull in it and you're like, oh my God, this was brand new. We just had a brand new Sittrigar dead. My heart broke.
You got a pull.
My heart broke. And then my great, which also could have been my bad. There are only three of us, Lord.
Oh, man.
When Uhtred's making this plan and he's like, okay, and then like we're going to break off in quarters and we're going to attack from the four quarters. There's only three of us, Lord.
That was a...
Remember?
Yeah.
Us first dead.
That's a really, really great pull from you, Mary, but in a good way. but also...
Not a pull in your sweater.
Not a pull in like Sittrigar dying way. But also, it's such a smart way for Alex Straker to acknowledge the fact that Osferth's death happened. But Uhtred is so in the zone, he doesn't even realize it.
Yeah.
You know, and that speaks so many different levels as to what is happening, who's with who, and how this seems, Osferth's death seems to like really ruin Finnan.
Yep.
He's even wearing his blanket.
Oh my God, Finnan. If they take Finnan from me.
Nah, Finnan ain't going anywhere.
Okay, because Pierleg is now like on his last leg. Oh. I don't know if he's going to make it. They already killed Osferth. Now Sittrigar. If they touch a wee bonny hair on my Finnan.
Did a far Sassanach.
He's Irish, but it's fine.
I know, but you said wee bonny hair, so, you know.
I'm doing it.
I got to get Jamie to come in there and comfort you.
I am going to lose it. I'm going to lose it.
All right, my good. This goes to Ruby Hartley. Now, do you know who Ruby Hartley is, my love?
You know, there's only like two girls left in this show. So I'm going to say Steora.
Yes.
They killed all of Steora's friends.
That's true.
All of Uhtred's girls.
Yep.
There's Breeda. Is the queen, the teenager.
Yeah. So it's Ruby Hartley. It is Steora. Good guess.
Thank you.
I really like what she did during the death scene for Sittrigar. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I think that this episode exists only to serve one thing, and that is Sittrigar's death.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of flash in this episode. I think there's a lot of things that happen in this episode that are nice. Mm-hmm. But the what we should be taking out of all of this is Sig Trigger's death and what they accomplished during this scene, specifically with Steora and how all that stuff went down. Like, she was in straight up shock. And the way that Ruby Hartley portrayed it,
yeah,
I thought was spot on in every way. Whether it is the actual scene itself, watching the battle commence as she was, even the aftermath of all of it as she's walking behind Sig Trigger, talking to her dad, as we played at the top of this episode, all truly excellent, mm-hmm, excellent, excellent stuff.
She was outstanding. Between that and...
You know what, Mary? I think you're right. She deserves it.
Yeah. I'll stay
makes me wanna shout. And my bad. There's all right. There's a lot happening in this episode.
Truth.
And it all kind of needs to happen. So the show makes it all happen. There's a lot of decision-making process that happens in this episode that I just don't get. In particular, the decision-making process behind Edward's choice to kill Sig Trigger. Why that happens, how that happens.
Why?
Yeah.
Because it's easy. This is so easy. Oh, cool. More land for me. And I don't even have to lose my soldiers.
I know, but...
It's like risk, but easy.
But there's just something that... Like, he decides that Sig Trigger is going to die and that he has to go fight Sig Trigger and join the fight and and punish him.
Oh, you mean when he's on the hill?
Yeah, when he's on the hill.
You meant at the very end when he's like, Uhtred, I got to kill somebody.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have even had to do that, to be honest. Like, what this was a giant misunderstanding. And Edward, in my opinion, is just being obdurate. Like,
he could do it since his soldiers saw. I don't think his soldiers could see all the Danes killing the Saxons. And that's what the Mercia guy was saying. Is like, listen, if we just knew about this, yeah, let them all kill each other. Awesome. But you've literally got like all of these Saxons behind us who are suited up, ready for war.
Yeah, but once the news came out about Ethelhelm.
Yeah, but still, like, it doesn't mean Ethelhelm's men were bad. Ethelhelm's Saxon, Edward supporting men aren't bad. Yeah. You could be sitting there and your cousin could be one of Ethelhelm's men, you know, losing the next town over.
It's true.
And thinks he's fighting Edward's fight. All those guys were told they were fighting Edward's fight.
Could have been.
Your cousin from Boston.
Straight up.
Could have been.
Could have been Sam.
I don't know.
Sam Adams,
just,
that is.
And then there's other decisions here, like Steora just outside of the battle. I think that there's... I don't buy it. Plus, on top of that... Half of this episode is just watching Uhtred and the other two just ride a horse.
Which I am here for as well.
I am not. It's just riding horses.
You know what I'm done with?
What?
Dumbreeda.
I think that's coming to a close real soon.
Because, okay, we thought that things were going well. All right, cool. I'm going to go to Wessex. Nice. We'll, like, you know, come and figure ourselves out. And then... Forefather Peerlig drops that he has some knowledge.
And then, like, that's the other thing, too. Like, that's a decision that was made that I don't think Father Peerlig, the character, would have made.
Why not? He would have... He's tired and hungry. He's not thinking straight.
I disagree. And I think Father Peerlig would have been truthful about what he learned, and that would not have led to Father Peerlig getting stabbed, and that would have not led to Breida turning the way that she did. To me, it turns back to, well, we can't have Breida just be BFFs with Uhtred anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, she cut off his son's his hot dog.
Wee Uhtred.
Yeah, like little
wee Uhtred. Wee Uhtred.
Yeah, we. So like
wee Uhtred.
The Franken beans are gone. You know, so like
the wee Uhtred of wee Uhtred.
Yes,
that's
so
what call
like
it.
you can't come back from that.
Is it the Frank? Is it the beans? Everything?
I don't know.
How do you pee when the Frank is gone?
That's a good point.
I assume it was just the beans.
Probably just the beans.
Yeah.
Whatevs.
I don't know how castration works, okay?
Whatevs. Either way, all I'm saying is it's bad news. And I just don't, I think a lot of the decision-making process here is problematic. But my great, I have a tie, and that first goes to the direction of the battle, At the camp, I thought that was what.
So castration is the removal of testicles from a male animal or man.
Okay, so just the beans.
Yeah, but I want to know, what is it called if you cut off the flank?
I don't know.
Don't Google image that.
I am not Google image that.
Castration.
That is horrifying. What just happened on our? We might get red flagged by the FBI for that.
It was like ancient Chinese diagrams.
Like that?
It wasn't even like modern science. It was like old school. How Brita Googled it, and that's what she used. Oh my God!
Holy smokes! The CIA is looking at our house right now. Yeah. They're like, there's some weird stuff happening in Providence, Rhode Island. We need to figure that out. At any rate, Mary, oh man, that just threw me off.
Emasculation is where the testicles and the penis are removed together. You can literally take the frank and the beans. I probably might Google image that.
Why are we Google imaging this?
I'm learning for the show.
Yeah, but wow, man. Okay, I am not going to look at your screen whatsoever. Don't. Here we go. We're moving on. Mm-mm. So you got me all thrown off.
Because we don't know what happened to Uhtred. We don't know what
I think just the beans were probably taken.
Maybe there's a Google. What happened to Uhtred? Frank, beans, both.
Anyway, now you got me all thrown off.
However, if you Google image, what is emasculation? You'll see flowers. They find the male parts of the flower. Okay, that's much better.
How am I supposed to talk about anything else now other than...
Go for it. I don't know what you're talking about. Brita?
Castration. Yeah, you see, you're not even listening. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, oh, my goodness.
Oh, this is flower sex. This is when you take your flower and you, like, sex it on the other flower. You didn't know that? You have to, like, sex flowers.
We have lost Mary, ladies and gents.
You have to, because of the shortage of bees, you've got to go around with, like, Q-tips and, like, sex flowers.
I see you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you do. You got to pretend you're an avatar.
You have to do avatar connecting with your hair.
This is what people do, man.
We have lost Mary, ladies and gents.
Yep.
I mean, we might as well. She might as well be on freaking Pluto right now. We've gone down a rabbit hole and the whole show is just gone.
Yep. Don't Google search what is emasculation. Penis. That is not good. Oh no.
What are we doing?
Yikes. Don't do that one, friends.
Listen.
Don't.
Anybody at the CIA, if you're listening right now, it ain't my fault.
You know, I still go back and forth if I'm running for Congress.
If I die in a mysterious way, they are totally going to look at your search history and blame you for it.
As long as your frank and beans are okay, we'll know it's not me.
Oh, man. Off the rails. How can I talk about anything now? Thank you, Mary. Okay, so migrate. We're still on migrate, by the way. And we're 17 minutes into this bad boy. Mm-hmm. Migrate is the direction from the battle scene in conjunction with the choreography of what was going on. I felt like this was directed very well. It was in your face, but I knew where I was at all times. I had an understanding of where the characters were. But more specifically,
I remember what I was going to say. We're talking about Brita.
Yes.
And how she was getting better.
Yes.
And then they changed their minds. And what I don't like... is she stabs Father Pureleg and then says, "Tell Uhtred I'm coming for him."
Uh-huh.
No shit, Sherlock. Like, what? Captain Obvious.
If you live, tell him I'm coming for him. Like,
I would have said that. I would have said, "Thank you, Captain Obvious. You've castrated or emasculated his son. Don't know.
Don't Google it.
Don't Google it, Brita." She already did. "You've tried to kill his daughter."
Yep.
"I don't know if Uhtred knows you're coming for him."
Mm.
"I don't know. You've yelled it at dying Danes and..."
Good point. Well, and it's not like Uhtred's been, you know, gotten the 4-1-1 that you guys were cool with each other for like 3.5 seconds.
Or I would have like held my stabbed body and said, "Yeah, you and what army? You gonna go find some more paint people?"
Yeah.
Good luck with that. Jumping in holes.
Good luck with that.
That went well.
How'd that work for your daughter?
Oh my God.
How's that working for you? Yeah, you know, I just...
dumb.
Dumb. Like, there is some, again, there are some decisions in this episode that were made that I'm just questioning. Mm-hmm. But as far as the great goes, I have to be able to finish this. The direction in conjunction with the choreography, I thought it was fantastic. It was visceral. Yet at the same time, I thought that it was frantic because of the search for Uhtred to try to find Sigtrygger and making it all stop. I thought that was excellent stuff. And the fighting, I thought, was exceptionally well choreographed, especially as it relates to Sigtrygger and his brother, how they were fighting off the army, and just seeing all the different moves, and then Alexander Draymond with Uhtred making all of his moves and spinning and twirling in. And I just thought it was spectacular. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it stands out more than any other episode of for choreography, but for some reason, this just felt different.
Yeah.
And my other great, though, really, and again, I know we've said before in these episodes that we have slowly warmed up to Alexander Draymond, but his acting when he finally does kill Sigtrygger was spectacular. That entire scene was outstanding. As a matter of fact, I just got to give it again.
By the way, our kids come down and play your sound effects on the iPad.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They, on our walk yesterday, they sang that, I'm pretty sure in tune. And then afterwards, they just kept going, I'm Ron Burgundy. I'm Ron Burgundy.
That's how they...
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Because the other day, the other day that we were driving, and all of a sudden, our son, he's like, hey, Dad. I said, yeah. He goes, you're a cousin from Boston. I was like, how do you know that?
Yeah. Because they come down, they play these sound effects.
And then they both started saying it to each other over and over and over again. And like, I must have heard that phrase at least a million times.
They think our little soundboard is the coolest thing. And they quote it.
Oh, my goodness. So that scene was great and how he reacted to that death scene. It reminded me, I think, what is the gold standard of what Alexander Draymond can do. Mm-hmm. And that is the scene with Hild in season 2 in the wheat. If you remember that, in the grass fields.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Love grass.
Yeah. With the sun coming down after he gets rescued from being a slave and all that. Like, that to me is gold standard, Alexander Draymond. This death scene is right there with that. I thought that was spectacular. Ugh.
Not even single tear. Just like a dam of water in his eyeball.
Right. Like, we've praised Sterling K. Brown for the single tear. Mm-hmm. I have to praise Alexander Draymond for the dam that
I don't even know how eyeballs hold on to that much without it pouring out. Like, that looked like the equivalent of a full bladder, but like an eye.
But you can't see. Like, there's so much water. You know, like when you get water in your eye and you can't, like when you come out of the pool.
Yeah.
And like, you like have to like wipe your eyes a little bit.
They must have squirt and said, you better not close your eye.
Do not close your eyes. You sit there and you take it. there's a lot here. A lot of good and a lot of bad. And in particular, and it's going to sound like I'm out on this episode. I'm not. I'm not, for the reasons that I explained to you in my good and my great. But, like, there are just some things, decisions that were made that I can't have. Like, Stiora being out in the woods just alone as the battle was commencing. Mm. 0.0 chance that happens on two levels. One, there's no way Sigtrygger makes her stay alone.
Agreed.
Number two, there's no way Stiora is not part of this battle.
Agreed.
And the only reason why the show needs her to be away from the battle and on the hill as you know, or whatever, as she's overlooking the battle, is because the show needs her to survive no matter what. And that means she can't die in the battle. And number two, when Edward comes back and says, hey, we got to kill somebody. Somebody's got to answer. They have to have an excuse to make sure that Stiora does not die. Mm-hmm. And that is Uhtred saying, sire, or, you know, your grace, whatever. Hey, king, she didn't kill a single Saxon. Didn't happen. Can you spare her for me as her father? Can you do that for me? And because she didn't kill nobody, that means Edward is given the opportunity to not kill her. Mm-hmm. What do you think about all that, Mary?
I wasn't bothered by it. I would have hoped that she would have had a guard or two. Or at least like one of those really cool cloaks that the hobbits have that you can put over yourself and you look like a rock. Mm-hmm. So if and when another army came, she could just camouflage and hide. Because you're right. Who would just leave this woman out in the woods by herself alone, without a magical hobbit cloak?
Like the or like, you know,
a brute.
Or the the invisible blanket from Harry Potter. What the hell's the name of it? Harry's cloak. Yeah. What
invisibility
is it?
Cloak.
The invisibility cloak, yeah. You know that wall in Berlin? What's the name of that?
You're a wizard, Harry.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I don't buy the fact that she's out there all alone. And like, you know, just stuff happens because it needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, for example, Ethelhelm doesn't die in this episode. And he continues on because
protect me at all costs.
Yeah, like it, and like Finn and chooses.
Shield all.
It just like felt like, okay, we need these things to happen, but we're gonna do X amount of things so that nobody dies. You know, for the most part.
I mean, a lot of people died.
No,
just
but
not
like
that
no
we
one that we're watching, no one that we really care.
My heart
about.
Is still in mourning over Osfrith. Okay.
Yeah.
I too would have said let's attack all four sides.
And the more than likely death of Father Purelig. I mean, you saw the blood that was coming out of his stomach. I mean, my own. I don't think anybody's surviving that kind of stab wound.
Nope.
Not even Jon Snow, with all the plot armor. however, even though it sounds like I'm down on this episode. I'm not, but I'm not as high on it as I probably think other people have been. I did really, really, really love the stillness of crossing the ice and the choice that Sigtryggr has to make between listening to his wife and listening to his brother. And he still listens to his brother, and it leads to their untimely demise. Mm-hmm. Not the brother, but his Sigtryggr's untimely demise. And I love how he says to Sjor, if I just listened to my wife, none of this would have happened.
Can that just be written in every book?
Can that just be a Mary and Blake Media commandment?
Yeah.
Fair enough. But the stillness of the ice. And when he puts his head down to listen, when you know the sound engine, the sound design for that ice movement, I thought was especially
brilliant.
When he puts his head down on the ice to listen, I thought that was exquisite.
I'm here for any ice. Okay, I'm here for the rise of the Guardians with the ice breaking. I'm here for Jurassic World Fallen or Dominion, whatever, with ice and the dinosaur into the ice. I'm here for all of it.
Yeah.
If there is ice and people on it, whether they die or not, I'm in. I love winter.
Winter is coming.
I love hearing the cracking. I love seeing how people try to help. I would have thought that Vikings would have done a much better job at understanding ice thickness and how to help people if they fell through the ice. They kind of just looked like dumb sticks. Like, I know how to better save somebody when the ice starts to crack. What are we doing?
Oh, man.
They're Vikings. Right? Wouldn't that be in your basic Viking training?
I feel like that, yeah.
How to be proper on ice. How to, like, not die on ice. How to save your friend if the ice does crack.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like that should be part of your basic training. Like, that should be part of the manual.
Was I yelling it when I was sitting with you? Like, why are they not on all fours dispersing their weight more evenly rather than on their two heavy freaking feet?
You know what I had a question about?
Love to know, because maybe you don't know proper ice training either.
I definitely don't have the proper ice training.
You're going to be the one that falls.
You know, there is a scene when Stiora is crossing the ice behind Sigtryggr. She crosses the ice. As she's crossing the ice, the shot of her crossing and then getting onto land, it was dark. The next shot of her, freaking bright as day. Mm-hmm. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Those are like the little continuity things
yeah.
that drive me crazy. Mm-hmm. Though, I will say that the fact the show calls out how finicky the weather is in Mercia and what that means for the ice.
Wait, what do you want to know? How finicky the water is?
No. I'm saying what I did like is that what the show tried to do was that they crossed it, you know, at the dead of night or mm-hmm. like, you know, right before everybody woke up. So mm-hmm. it's still night out. The ice is strong enough to hold, but it's cracking on the way. And then after the battle commences and ostensibly the water heats up a little bit and mm-hmm. the ice melts a little bit because of daytime, as they come running back over the ice because of how finicky the weather is in Mercia, as Stiora has noted, it all starts to crack and everybody's falling through the ice holes.
You should have known just by the color of it.
Well, what color is it supposed
safe,
to be?
The safe ice is like blue to clear, needs to be at least 4 inches, preferably 6 inches thick.
Okay.
Okay? This was like choppy, gross white.
That's what she said.
Preferably.
I'm six. All right. I don't know. I thought that was an interesting thing. And I wouldn't call that foreshadowing necessarily. I would call that a payoff.
It wasn't even a rope.
What do you mean?
Should have had a rope.
What do you mean you should have rope?
Going across the ice.
Well, I think that was a late blooming plan. I don't think they were like,
how do
get
Vikings
the rope.
Not have ropes in their basic toolkit?
Isn't this in the Viking manual?
Yes.
Have a rope at all times?
I'm just mad. You hear a crack, you keep walking on two legs. Spread out your weight, lay down, roll.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I don't know. And like, I think about the other stuff that happens in this episode, like Ethelstan. Ethelstan gets attacked during that night.
Oh, I loved that.
I liked it too. But the fact of the matter is, everybody else got their asses handed to them mm-hmm. when they were sleeping, except Ethelstan.
Well, he was taught by Uhtred.
I know, but...
No. I think that's Uhtred stuff. That's Uhtred-wise.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I can make that.
I'm okay with it.
Leap.
And I love that he, like, bit the guy's throat and then broke his pinky back. I'm going to remember that move. That move that saved
that
his life.
Yeah.
Breaking that pinky. I can break a pinky.
I think he did the forefinger and the pinky
at
the same time.
I would probably just be able to do a pinky if I was being attacked. But that scene gave me hope that I can survive an attack. I just need to find a pinky and I'm good. Or a jugular.
Just start turning.
Or maybe he bit his chin. I don't know what he bit because I don't like that stuff, so I close my eyes. But I did see the pinky and I was like, who needs kung fu?
Yeah.
Who needs self-defense class? Pinky.
Good point.
You're
and
welcome.
Then like Father Pureleg and Brita end up discovering this dude on the road who just happens to still be alive, who just happens to die at the same time that they talked to him.
Wasn't he Stiora's friend?
I don't know.
I think he's like the second hot guy.
Oh,
The guy that was in the cages
he's still alive. He's still alive.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was his cousin from Boston.
It was definitely his cousin from Boston. His cousin from Copenhagen.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just happens to find the guy. The guy just happens to live long enough to tell them about Uhtred and the whole thing. And then Brita just happens to find out and just happens to stab Father Pureleg. It's just a lot. It just feels like very writerly that all this is happening.
And
my sense is this is one of those episodes that's a major transition episode. We go from having Sig Trigger be the thing mm-hmm. along with Brita. And now we're transitioning to Ethelhelm and what we have now come to discover, King Constantine of Scotia. And like that's going to be the thing. And the fight and the focus of the rest of this season, I would imagine, for the remainder of the third act, right? Because this is episode six. We're ending the second act with this. Episode 7 begins the next act This feels like to me they needed a bunch of things to be in place. And they said, well, we only got 10 episodes. All of this travel time needs to happen in one episode. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, we're going to make Uhtred. And we're half of the episodes is just going to be Uhtred riding horses. And then they're going to get the information. And then they're not going to have the information in time. And then we're going to put all these pieces in place to make sure that we get to Scotia by the end. That way, we can have the big final confrontation at the end between Scotia, Northumbria, the forces from Edward, and we're going to combine it all together.
Mm-hmm.
It felt to me like moving chess pieces into place as opposed to characters making decisions that they would normally be making. Did you get that feel?
I didn't really get that. I know you got kind of like crabbed about it and it being convenient and all this kind of stuff. I liked this episode a lot, so I don't feel any badness towards it. The badness I feel is my mourning.
How about finally seeing Whitgar? Are you happy that that's going to pay off?
So excited for Aladdin to be back.
Oh, that's right. We're calling him Aladdin. Mm. I forgot all about that.
So happy. I love it. I love the Scots. I love Bebbanburg. I'm just here for it all.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's chicken on that table,
you know who's going to be there.
Oh my God, if Heston... Like, as soon as I saw food, we haven't seen food for a while. That's and it true. Really has been such a huge device in this show in past seasons, just sitting down in people's residences and eating all the time. And there hasn't been that much food.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am seeing it. And I'm like, I know who's coming.
He can smell it.
He has to.
It's like a shock. He smells it 15 miles away. There's chicken. Do you think Heston?
That's my hope.
Do you think Heston comes back this season, or do you think he did his duty and that's it? Like, I mean, towards the story.
I think he did his duty. I just would love to see him with chicken one more time.
I would love to see chicken in hand. Maybe we get a chicken in hand scene at the end of the season. Like, maybe
he cheers with a chicken wing.
Like, here's a guarantee. Uhtred gets Bebbanburg, and Heston shows up, and they all have a feast, and they do the chicken cheer.
They have a block party.
like the Sandlot. Okay. Fireworks are going off and everything. The
kids are puking from having too much chew.
All the chew.
Okay.
By the way, did chew once, never do it again.
Well, I've never done it.
What you saw in Sandlot is 100% accurate. That chew made me puke more. Oh my God, that was brutal. I did it in college one day, my senior year. I'll never do it again. I was playing Madden, and all I saw was freaking 15 TVs in front of me, and I was spinning. The worst kind of spins you've ever had in your life. That was awful.
Sorry.
So we got Whitgar back. Obviously, we're heading towards the north. Obviously, there's going to be a thing with the King of Scotia. And clearly, Æthelhelm has a plan to involve himself with the King of Scotia. I feel like that's where this is headed.
I'm here for it.
I'm interested to see how they bring Whitgar back, like, fully, and what that means for that character.
I don't think it's going
to
mean do too much for him. He's lame, but...
Lastly, I want to talk about Aelfwyn.
Who's that?
That is Æthelflaed's daughter, along with Aelfwyn.
Oh, the teenager.
Yeah.
Okay, well, she doesn't need a real name.
The
princess.
The princess. I am out on this story.
Exactly. That's why writers don't even care.
Nothing to do with it.
Goodbye.
And it's like they needed Aelswyth to do something, so they stuck her with Aelfwyn, and they're like, go hide out. Like, they're giving them the lost in jail scenes with Sawyer and Jack and hashtag spoilers. They're giving them, like, they're sticking them literally in jail. Like, that's what they're doing. I find that highly unfortunate. Highly unfortunate. So I don't care that she ran away. I don't care that, you know, Aelswyth is pissed off. And I don't care that she's acting like a three-year-old. You can't keep me in here forever. You can't do this to me. Like, and she's just being a total freaking knob. Just a donkey.
I don't even know what any of that means. Continue. Knob.
It's just a knob. Like,
I don't even know what knob means. Google.
It ain't good. That's what I'll tell you. When a person,
it says a person of wealth or high social position.
No, like a K-N-O-B, knob.
Knob is sometimes confused with knob. Okay. This says a knob, a rounded lump or ball, especially at the end of the surface of something.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm saying okay. Google what it means for a person to be
however,
a knob.
However, vulgar slang
yeah.
is a frank.
Yeah. You're just being a dink. Just a total
in late
donkey.
Middle English from Middle Low German from nubbe, not nub, bud.
You know who doesn't have his knob?
However, it says, what does knob slang mean? And it means glans penis? What does glans penis mean?
I don't know.
The sensitive bulbous structure at the end of the penis is also known as the head of the penis is also called a knob.
There's been more penis talk on this show today than I ever have ever cared to
admit.
You
know, I think just Google now knows the direction I'm going. That's what it's showing me. They're like, oh, she wants a doorknob? No, this girl's looking at something else.
This girl's planning something.
I can't wait to see what
right
Facebook
stuff.
Ads show me now. Gone are the days of kids' clothes on sale.
Oh, man.
Yep.
What? What?
Google did just show me that there's registration for a free tree program in our neck of the woods.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yay.
You know what doesn't need no trees? Stuora.
Oh, man. This episode, way off the rails. I apologize, everybody.
Depends what kind of tree it is.
All right. You got anything else?
A variety of species will be available.
Oh, really? Mm. Will they have a spruce available? That's the question.
I don't think we can put a spruce in our yard.
But then I don't want to be a part of this little tree gathering.
You wouldn't do it anyway.
No, I would not. I find the trees walking in Lord of the Rings more interesting than going some tree gathering.
Sylvester Stallone got wicked in trouble because he's overused his water usage.
Okay.
As have like the Kardashians and a bunch of other people because there's like a serious water shortage.
Sure.
But Sylvester Stallone like paid the fee and said, I'm sorry, but I have so many different unique species of trees that I have to take care of them.
Oh man, what are we doing?
Yep.
Like, come on, man.
Yep.
You know that there's a water shortage going on right now.
Oh no, but he's got lots of trees.
All the trees. Are you Googling his trees now?
I'm trying, but now he's too associated with Kardashian.
That's a person.
And there's memes that say Rambo versus water cops.
You know what?
Don't mess with Rambo and his tree collection.
Dude, whoever wrote that headline needs a raise. I don't care.
Yeah, and he overshot his water budget by 1.04 million liters, and he attributed it to a thirsty collection of rare miniature trees. Yes! Got even better. Miniature trees. Miniature trees!
They're not even real fucking trees!
Stallone!
How do you have miniature trees?
A collection!
I didn't even know miniature trees were... aren't they called bushes?
Oh my god, I need to see his yard.
He's got like a... Do you think he's got like a whole row of abavitis?
I don't
just
even
call
know.
It a mini tree?
I don't even know, but I'm
hey,
so
yo,
excited.
Yo, I gotta get some water on my mini trees.
Oh, Sylvester.
His landscape is like, I know, they're abavitai. Just let him call it mini trees.
Oh, I'm so excited about this.
You know, I just made fun of Sylvester Stallone. I shouldn't. He's actually a really smart, really talented guy.
Obviously.
And, you're making him sound dumb or what I did, but... Oh man, this show. What the hell happened?
A lot of things, Blake. A lot
what
of things.
What happened with this show today? All right, Mav, we got to close this out before we lose all of our audience members for the rest of our lives.
That's okay.
All right, what do you got? Anything else for this episode? Now that we're getting towards God. What?
Also, I guess his wife just filed for divorce, like in the same time as his tree thing, and it's a dispute over his dog.
Wait, they're getting divorced over the dog?
Of 25 years of marriage.
And they're getting divorced over the dog?
I don't know. I don't know. Now Google's showing me avocado trees that look like hot dogs. Okay, I gotta stop. Avocado trees shaped like small hot dogs. Stop it, Google. Stop with the penis.
Yes.
I want Sylvester Stallone miniature trees or dog causing a divorce. Dog divorce Stallone. Yes, Sylvester Stallone. Oh, he's denying the dog was the cause of the divorce, but other people think that it is. People think doing? That his dog.
What are we doing? How is the dog the cause of the divorce?
Hold on, give me one second.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh, is right. Why do people think it's the dog?
Oh. Just
news of the breakup came hours after the Stallone covered a tattoo of his wife on his right bicep with a portrait of the dog. He turned the tattoo of her into a dog. Mr. Stallone intended to refresh the tattoo image of his wife, Jennifer. However, the results are unsatisfactory and unfortunately unfixable. As a result, he had to cover the original image with a tattoo of his dog from Rocky Butt Kiss.
So it's not even the fucking dog. It's a fucking movie dog.
It was supposed to be her, and she looked more like a dog. That other people are saying that she filed for divorce because he wants a dog.
Oh, man.
He wanted a Rottweiler to help protect their family, but she said no.
Well, I want a German Shepherd. That doesn't mean we're going to get divorced.
Oh, no.
That must mean, dude, that means that they got some serious problems.
And then after she filed, he got a dog. So incredibly happy with my newly acquired four-legged friend, Dwight.
Why does he call it a newly acquired four-legged? Why can't you just say, I got a dog? It makes me happy.
Dwight.
I acquired a who the hell talks like that?
Then he put Dwight, definitely a true friend. Keep punching and keep barking.
This is the same guy that has friggin' miniature trees too, so I shouldn't be surprised.
Oh my God. Anyway, there you go.
Wow.
Getting divorced, a new dog, and you're getting in trouble for watering your miniature trees.
And a dog tattoo.
It's a big week for Sylvester.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know you did not bargain for this kind of conversation.
You're welcome.
But this is what you get.
That one's not even big.
Oh, my God. There's a giant spider
Oh, my gosh, Blake. It's smaller than a dime.
It just crawled up.
It's fine.
Into our studio
desk.
Do
you want it to live or die?
Die immediately. I mean, away.
I actually have a different feeling.
No.
Oh.
Oh, no, nope, nope, nope. See, now it's going to hide. Nope, you're dead. You're dead.
Oh.
You're dead. No. Mary tried to save it, and it tried to run away. We're done
with
that.
It was running to me. It knew I would take it outside.
All right, we got to close this episode out.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes. I've been ready.
Oh, man.
Can't wait to buy some miniature trees. I did buy a miniature tree this week!
What? How did you buy a miniature tree?
It's a jade tree. It's super miniature. It's an indoor miniature tree. It's in my room.
Why do we have miniature trees?
Because they're helping me on my long COVID journey.
Are we going to get in trouble for water in the tree?
We live in the ocean state. We don't really have drought lights like that.
Hey, but they're in California. I feel like they got the Pacific. That's bigger than the Atlantic.
Well, it's about how the water flows actually happen, and they haven't been having proper rain amount. And a lot of California is actually desert conditions due to the mountains in the area.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. All right, let's close this bad boy out, shall we?
You're welcome.
All right, let's do it.
So as you ponder what happened to Weutrid's Weutrid, and you hopefully don't Google it, but if you do...
Don't Google it.
You're going to find flowers.
I'm telling you straight up now, don't do it.
Some might be flowers, some may not. Thank you. Thank you for listening and tuning in.
Putting up with the final 15 minutes of this conversation.
They could have fast-forwarded. They could have just stopped.
Absolutely, could have done it.
But if you made it this far, and we made you laugh, and you're not yet a member of jointhenerdclan.com...
I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know how I'm going to water my jade tree.
We can't afford to. We can't pay the fine.
Oh, my God. Well, we could not pay his fine, I'll tell you what. But thank you once again, because, of course, this podcast in particular, The Last Kingdom, is because our friends at jointhenerdclan.com voted for it. So we want to thank all of you for making this show possible. It's been a hoot and a holler, and we're going to keep at it. It's actually not been a hoot and a holler. It's actually been super depressing.
No, we just had... We hooted and we hollered today.
About other things to, like, get me over my grief.
Poor Sid Trigger, dude. That was a sad scene. As for
Sid Trigger, I swear to God, if they touch Finnan, I'm Finnan coming.
Finnan ain't going anywhere. He ain't going anywhere. No way. That was one... They learned that mistake from Leofric. Once Leofric was gone...
They had to bring him back as a ghost.
Yeah, they had to bring him back as a ghost. Which, by the way, again, let's get weird. I'm all about it.
Okay.
I love getting weird.
I know you do.
But, right. You know, they're not touching Finnan.
Better not.
No, there's no way.
Not a single hair on his bonny head. All right, my name's Mary.
My name is Sylvester Stallone.
Destiny is all.